Hallelujah. Amen. Well, what's on my heart tonight is visiting with God, communicating with God. I feel a tugging in my spirit that God wants to be talking to us. He wants to visit with us, and he's going to say some things to us that may surprise us, maybe out of the ordinary. He's going to do some new things. And to be in on the new things he's doing, we have to be hearing his voice and what he's saying. Prayer is a two-way conversation with God. It's not us just talking to him. It's learning to listen. And when you're talking to God, always have a pencil and paper and write down what you hear in your spirit. Write down what he's saying. He wants to give you direction, edification, comfort, warnings, and even corrections. You know, we live in an imperfect world, and sometimes we just need adjustments. You know, we need to always be ready for the Spirit of God and the Word of God to adjust our thinking and adjust our attitudes and adjust us. And you know, we don't like the word always correction, but when we're out of balance a little bit and God corrects us, it feels so good. You know, when a printer's off and it calibrates, all of a sudden it's printing right again. And God wants to calibrate us. You know, he just wants to put us back in line with his Spirit. Amen. The most powerful life is the one that combines the Word of God, hallelujah, and the Spirit of God in fellowship with us. We're going to Habakkuk 2, 1 through 3. I'll tell you in a little bit. Habakkuk 2, 1, 2, 3. 1 through 3 says, I will stand. Do we have anybody on this? Oh, no, we don't have anybody. Okay, we'll just let you look up the scriptures. Amen. Hallelujah. Mitch is going back there. I gave them to Peter, so they're probably there. So we'll see. Anyway, Habakkuk 2, 1 through 3 says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart, which means the lookout tower, and watch to see what he, God, will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. So, you know, when we're listening to God, he does correct us. Amen. And it's a good thing. It feels good when we're back in order, back in line with God's will. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For this vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry. God has a vision and a plan for our lives individually, for our church, as a church family. God has a plan and a vision for Douglas. And he wants us to hear it. He wants us to write it down and be ready to run with it as it comes to pass. It's important to hear the voice of God concerning all of these things and what he's wanting to say. James 1:5 said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. So we need to ask for God's wisdom. And it says he will give it to us liberally. Hallelujah, that's good news. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10, we're not going to look at that, but it's where the gifts of the Spirit are given. It's where the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. That is the Spirit speaking to us. That's us hearing the Spirit through these gifts in words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Isaiah 11, verse 2 says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And this is a prophecy of Jesus, but because Jesus is in us and the Holy Spirit has come upon us, these same promises are for us. It says, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And that same Spirit. And see, all of these things are divine deposits of God in our life. It's what we hear from Him. We're receiving His word through wisdom, through understanding, through counsel, through knowledge, and even worshiping the Lord. Worshiping the Lord calibrates us. It sets us right. It puts us back in order when we worship the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is like the worship of God, the awe of God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, and this is in the Message. And it's just so good. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. I love that. In fact, I'm going to read it again. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Hallelujah. I love that. Isaiah 40, 31 says, but those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I believe waiting on the Lord there means spending time in His presence, spending time hanging out with Him. You know, just being with Him. Now we're going to read Psalms 119 and verses 101 through 105. It says, I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. And when we think of sweet things, honey's about as sweet as it gets. Well, God's words, even more sweet than that. When we receive God's word and communicate with God, it's a sweet, sweet, awesome thing. It feels so good. Tastes so good. Hallelujah. Amen. Through your prophets, I got understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your words, a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Hallelujah. We're going to do some exercises, spiritual exercises tonight. And Calvin's going to pass out some pencils and paper if you don't have your own way to take notes. If you have your own notebook, well, just keep it in your notebook and that'll be handier. We'll get to that in just a minute. But some keys to hearing God's voice is to get a notebook or a journal and choose a quiet place where there's no distractions. Probably early morning or early evening. When my first baby came along, when Becky came along, I purposely started getting up an hour before any of the rest of family woke up. And all the time my children were little and I was raising a family, I would get up an hour before Calvin or any of the kids got up, and I would spend my time with the Lord, reading the word, praying, and it just started my day off right. And then it was so many years, it just became habit that I get up early and I spend my time with God. But it's important, and you know, we live in a busy world, and especially when you have children, you have to hunt for that place to have a quiet time. But it's important to put value on having a quiet time with the Lord. Having a time without distractions. When you get quiet before, you need to relax your mind, your emotions, you know, just purposely relax. Cease from all the striving and busyness of your mind. Rest in your body and wait as you do this process. The goal is to hit the refresh button on the screen of your mind. You know, just clear everything out. You know, just clear off all of the things that's on there. Put your attention on God and think about His power and goodness. We're going to read Colossians 3, 1 through 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Now that's an action. We have to do that on purpose. We have to set our mind on the Lord. You know, reset, calibrate. You know, set your mind on the Lord. It's an action we take. Hallelujah. To put our attention on the Lord. And then it's important to come correctly. Psalms 100 verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Worship brings us into God's presence. In Moses' tabernacle at the golden altar of incense, which was the place of prayer, they would come every morning and just worship God for who he is. And they wouldn't bring their needs or anything like that. They would come and just worship God. God, you are great. You are mighty. You are all powerful. They would just give glory to God for who he was. And in the evening, they would come to the place of prayer, and they would bring their petitions to the Lord. And this is an important key, because when we spend time glorifying God and saying, you know, realizing the greatness and the mightiness of our God, that nothing's impossible for him, then our mind is elevated from what we can do to what he can do. And then when we later come to him with our petitions, we're looking at it from a standpoint not of what we can do, but what he can do. And a problem that may be a huge mountain to us that's impossible for us to do anything about, when we come with exalting God in our mind and knowing that there's nothing impossible for him, that he's over all, then when we bring our needs, we bring them in faith. You know, this thing that would be impossible for me is nothing for you, God. We get our perspective right. And hallelujah. So it's important to worship the Lord, because it puts our attention on him and his greatness. And then it's important to watch and listen. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. We read this a little bit ago. And watch to see what he says to me. Hallelujah. So we have to put our attention on purpose to hear what God's saying. I really enjoy the times when we do our spirit fire worship, because we really are coming to hear the Lord, to worship him and hear the Lord. And every time we get together, prophetic words flow. You know, his spirit flow, he talks to us. We come worshiping him and he talks to us. But it's like a time of prayer where we set ourselves to put our attention on him. And when we do, he always talks to us. He always speaks. And it's so good. We're going to read 1 Kings 19, 11 through 12. Then he, speaking of Elijah, said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." And he heard God in a still small voice. When you're listening for God to speak, don't expect like a bolt of lightning, but listen for the gentle impression of the Lord. Often he speaks softly. It's kind of like a dove landing. Just his word just softly, gently comes in. Sometimes his voice comes in words, and sometimes it comes in a mental picture or an impression, like you just get a picture of something that God's wanting to speak to you. And it's important when you hear to write it down. Write down the flow of images and thoughts and words that come to you. And the faintest expressions that come when you're waiting on the Lord, write them down. And at this point, don't be concerned about, you know, spelling it correct and writing it correct, or even being thinking, is this in agreement with the word? Because that'll come later. Because when we're hearing from God, we hear from our spirits, not from our intelligence. And so we need to not let our mind get in there and do too much analyzation right at the time. Write down the impressions you feel from the Lord and later go on and say, "How, you know, where is this in the word? How does this correspond?" And fix your spellings or whatever else. But when you're in a place of listening to the Lord, you're listening from your spirit. And your mind can get in there and it can stop the flow of what you're receiving in here. So later you can go over your notes and you can find the word for it, and you can find, you know, just rewrite it or whatever. But at the time, you're hearing from your heart. And if we get our head involved, sometimes our own thoughts will interrupt what the Lord is trying to say. Is that clear? Hallelujah. The time you spend with God is where God will download the blueprints of the things he wants to build in your life. The more skilled you become at discerning the voice of the Lord, the more mistakes you will avoid and the more opportunities you will seize. And now comes we're going to do a little bit of practicing tonight. We're going to just get quiet and listen with our spirit. And the first thing I want you to do is write 5 things down about God. And I'll just give you an example. To me, God loves me. He cherishes me. He cherishes me. I'm his daughter. He loves me. That's awesome. And his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And so I want everybody to just be quiet in your spirit just a minute, and then just write 5 things down about God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would anybody like to share what you wrote down about God? Oh. We didn't give it long enough. Okay, Reuben. My friend. I love that. Yes. Oh, those are good things. Anybody else want to share some of what you wrote down about God? Jesus. Go ahead. peaceful, loving, comforting, guiding, constant. Yes, I love that. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to read what you wrote down about God? Hallelujah. Go ahead. One of the things that had come up in me when I asked this is, God is good. He's always good. And because he loves me, I can expect good things from God. I can expect him to be good to me because he's a good God. And he's my poppy. He loves me. Hallelujah. Amen. Does anybody else want to share anything you wrote? Okay, go ahead, Francisco. Yes. Wow. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And the next thing I want you to do is just be quiet and listen a little bit. And I want you to write down two impossible situations that God turned around, one from the Word, from the Bible, and one thing that God did in your life that was an impossible situation that God turned around. So let's just be quiet and listen a little bit and then write down two things. Okay, does anybody want to share what you wrote down? What an impossible thing that the Lord did. Go ahead, Nina.
That he gave Isaac to Abraham, and then that he had provided a faithful medical bill.
That's a big one. That was awesome, yes. Anybody else? Calvin. Amen. Go ahead. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Yes. Yes. How good is that? That's a little, wow, that's awesome. Really awesome. You're here tonight. Hallelujah. Two different occasions. Wow, that's incredible. Hallelujah, God's so good. Anybody else have an impossible situation that God turned around for you? Go ahead. Yeah, Bill. Wow. He gave you three beautiful children. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. There's been so many things, but one of the things in our lives that God did, in the ministry, we have never made very much money, and we have always rented. After when we came over here, we were always rented, and we didn't make enough for the bank to give us a loan to buy anything. They wouldn't give us a loan to buy anything because our income wasn't steady enough, and we didn't make enough. And but one year, at the end of the year, the Lord told Calvin, you have spent 10 years building houses and churches for me in Mexico. Next year's the year to build your house. And we wanted our own place. We wanted to have our own house, really did. And we found the land that we're on, and we said, The guy said, I will sell it to you for whatever you want to give down and however much you want to pay him up. And so we didn't have anything to give down. But we says, okay, we'll buy it. And we made an agreement of how much we could pay him every month for the land that we're on. Well, right after that, we met some friends in Tucson. We're having lunch with them, and we told them about buying the land. And they had just gotten an inheritance, and they says, well, we'll loan you money to build your house. And so they loaned us $40,000 on a real low interest. And with that money, we bought our land, we drilled our well, we had electricity put in, and we built our house. And at the same time, Calvin had a friend that was like a brother that had a sawmill in the mountains of New Mexico at the time, and he said, I want to give tithe on my sawmill to you. So he gave us all of the lumber for our house, and everything's basically lumber on our house, and we would made a number of trips up to Reserve, New Mexico, north of there, and brought lumber home. So we got that. A lot of the things that are in our house, we got out of the dump, out of junkyards, the doors that's on my office, some of the wrought iron stuff that's upstairs. What Calvin built the cabinets with, he bought the lumber used at a yard sale. And it's just, and then we didn't pay any labor. We did everything ourselves. And Calvin really wasn't, he wasn't into construction. He said, I built a doghouse once and it fell in and killed a dog. But anyway, and the Mexican pastors a number of times all came up from Mexico and spent time working on our house. People in the church came and helped. We'd have days where we would raise walls and people would come. And our payment on that was less than we were paying rent in town. And we paid it off in 10 years. And it was really impossible for us to own a home in the natural. And we have a beautiful home now. Beautiful home. And just amazing that, you know, it's paid, it's clear. And God provided for it. It was really a miraculous thing that we could not have had owned a home on our own. And now we own a beautiful home, and it was a miracle. Amen. That was good. Anybody else want to tell a testimony of something God impossible he did in your life? Hallelujah. I want us to go into just a quiet time, closing your eyes, relaxing, putting your attention on the Lord. And his presence is here. And I want you to pray, Lord, I thank you that I am your sheep. I hear your voice. And what would you like to say to me? Or do you love me? Express your love. So we're just going to be quiet a minute, and then let's just listen to the Lord. What would you say to me, Lord? Did anybody hear anything that you want to share? Hallelujah. When I asked the Lord this and was just quiet, I was like I was standing by the ocean and the waves were just coming in, and the sound of the waves coming and coming and coming. And of course I love the ocean, so I'm not surprised God talked to me that way, but it's like the waves never stop. And the Lord said, I never stop reaching out to you. I just keep reaching out over and over and over again to you. And he said, don't stand by the shore, but immerse yourself in my love. Get in, get in, get into my flow and into my presence and into my spirit. But the But I kept hearing just the waves crashing and crashing and crashing and crashing. And it was like every wave said, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. It never quit, never quits, never quits. It's there, there, there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Pick a date. Pick Bill for your date. No. Okay, we get you. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The next question is, what blocks me from moving forward in my relationship to you? This is just ask the Lord that. Okay, what blocks me from moving forward in my relationship with you? Hallelujah. Well, when I ask about what blocks me moving forward with the Lord, my example was feeling overwhelmed with busyness and challenge. I mean, we all live in a busy world, so that can be something that all of us deal with. And the Lord says, how can it be dealt with? And the Lord says to me, talk to me about your every care. Listen to what I would say about them and trust in me and give it to me. You know, so whatever it is, anybody have any comment in this thought line? Hallelujah. We're not going to get anywhere near through my list. I'm just going to give you some more examples for your time alone, suggestions for you to spend time with the Lord. One thing. I asked the Lord, where is my thinking off track with yours? Lord, how is my thinking not in track with your thinking? And the Lord says, you see the faults and needs in others when I want you to be looking for the hidden treasures within them. I see from my natural mind their problems, but God wants me to see from my spirit his plans and purposes and even the hidden gifts and talents they have. Amen? This can, you know, there could be 100 answers or 100 questions, but you know, these are things to ask the Lord. You know, it's things that help us set straight with the Lord. You know, say, one of the questions that we should ask often, are there any people I need to forgive and release to a greater extent than I have? That's really something that we should ask ourselves often, because, you know, we get hurt in the life and sometimes we hang on to things and don't realize we're hanging on to them. So when he asks the Lord, he will bring it to our attention, and it will, you know, as he brings it to our attention, we release it and we're healed. You know, we're made whole. And then say, Lord, what would you like to say to me about our marriage, our relationships? How do you want me to see my marriage? And I wrote, it's my greatest earthly blessing. On my example of what do you want to say to me about my marriage, I wrote, the Lord said, your marriage is a testimony of my faithfulness. You complement each other. Your strengths and weaknesses are opposite, and you complete one another. We're made to do that in a marriage, complete one another. We're never in competition. We complete one another. You know, it's good. You know, how do you see my children? Ask the Lord, how do you see my children? Are there any special instructions? What are the gifts and talents you've given them that you want me to help focus on and bring out of them? Is there anything you want me to do to help mature their walk with you? And I think one of the most powerful things we can do for our children is just drill it into them how much Jesus loves them and how special they are to the Lord, and teach them to pray and talk to God. Everybody faces problems. Everybody faces temptations, you know, children too, but they need to learn to talk to God about it. Bring it to the Lord. Visit with him, because they're, you know, God loves for children to pray and talk to him, and he'll speak to them. You know, it'll touch their heart. So I think that's the greatest thing that we can do for our children is tell them how much God loves them in a way that they'll catch it and get it, how special they are to God and how they can talk to him and communicate with him from little bitty. And I'm going to end again in Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, in the Message says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God and run from evil. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we kind of ran through that, but it just took time. But it's just like, I have been feeling in my spirit a need to be super sensitive to the voice of God. I've just been feeling it in my spirit. God's going to do some new things. It's going to be out of the box. It's going to be things that we haven't done before, like he was wanting to do them now. And it's important to be tuned in and hearing. And when he tells you to do something, you need to step out in faith and do it, even if your flesh isn't comfortable with it. And I'm just feeling really hard. Really strong that the spirit of discernment is very, very important to us in this season. Very important. And discerning the Lord and what he's wanting to do, discerning the presence of the Lord, discerning the angelic host that's about us, discerning messengers from God with a message from God. Be sensitive to these things, and also discerning evil spirits and the plans of the enemy, so you can stop the enemy before he does what he's been sent to do. So let's just go to the Lord. Lord, we are your children. We are yours. And we ask that you just create in us a sensitivity to your spirit, that we will walk with you, that we will move with you, that we will hear your voice, and that we will be quick to obey. Father, I just ask for everybody in this building tonight for their sensitivity to God to be turned up a little higher, that we hear the whispers of Jesus in our heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you all, and just been good to be here with you guys tonight. Amen.